Let's read together Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. In this first portion of Luke chapter 4, we have Luke's account of the temptations of Christ. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Let's begin our study of this first portion of Luke chapter 4 with some background notes. There is a traditional site in Israel called the Mount of Temptation where the Lord was tempted. It's not too far from the ruins of Old Testament Jericho. However, there is no historical reliability to prove the authenticity of this site. All we know for sure is that the Lord was tested in the wilderness, most likely the Judean wilderness, because that is the closest wilderness to the Jordan River where the Lord was baptized. Now, don't get the idea that the three temptations of Christ recorded here and in the Gospel of Matthew were the only temptations and the only time that Jesus was tempted by Satan. Verse 2 indicates that the Lord was being tempted during the entire 40-day period. See verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. The specific temptations described here and in Matthew chapter 4 came at the end of the 40-day period. So there were temptations before these three. And notice verse 13 here. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Satan's temptations did not end after the three temptations described here. Satan only departed for a time. We read in verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. The fact that the Lord became hungry after 40 days of fasting is an indication of our Lord's true humanity. The Lord Jesus was not only fully God, but fully human as well. 100% God and 100% man. Not 50% God and 50% man. No, 100% God and 100% man. In fact, the order of the temptations, as given here in Luke, emphasizes our Lord's humanity. Man is body, soul, and spirit. And Luke's order of the three temptations emphasizes appeals to those three areas in that order, as we'll see. The fact that Matthew presents the temptations in a different order is not in contradiction to Luke. There is no time sequence given in Luke's account. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first portion of Luke chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one, the temptations of Christ were proof that Jesus could not sin. The temptations of Christ were proof that Jesus could not sin. Verse 1 indicates that Jesus was purposely led by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness where he was being tempted by Satan. In fact, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 says specifically that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, why would the Holy Spirit do that? Answer, to prove that Jesus could not sin. The temptations of Christ were not to see if Jesus would sin, but to prove that as God, he could not sin. Jesus not only did not sin, but as God, he could not sin. But we just said that Jesus was 100% human as well as 100% God. Doesn't the fact that he was man as well as God mean that he could sin? No. To be fully human does not mean that you have to be able to sin. Believers will be fully human in heaven, in our glorified bodies. And not only will we be sinless, but we will not be able to sin. We will not be able to sin, and yet we will still be fully human. We don't become angels or some kind of spiritual jellyfish floating around in space. No, we will always be human beings. But in heaven, we will have sinless, glorified bodies which cannot sin. So the fact that our Lord was and still is fully human does not mean that he has to be able to sin. But the fact that he is and was fully God does mean that he cannot now and could not then sin, because God cannot sin. Jesus was impeccable. That is, he not only did not sin, he could not sin. But doesn't that make the temptations of Christ meaningless? No. First of all, they were real temptations, as we'll see. But they were totally from without. In no way did our Lord yield from within. Because to yield, even in your thought life, is sin. Even if you never commit an act of sin. But furthermore, even though the temptations were from without, the Lord felt the pressure of these temptations. Illustration: a rigid steel trestle feels the weight of the train just as much and even more than the wooden trestle that bends and breaks. Think about it. So the temptations of Christ were not to see if Jesus would sin, but to show that he could not sin. The way to show that a rigid steel trestle will not break under pressure is to park a loaded freight train on it for 40 days and 40 nights. And Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." The temptations of Christ were proof that Jesus could not sin. Doctrinal point number two: the temptations of Christ are proof that only Jesus did not sin. The temptations of Christ are proof that only Jesus did not sin. Because man is body, soul, and spirit, we can see why Satan specifically chose these three temptations after 40 days and nights of fasting, when Satan thought that Jesus would be in a weakened condition. The Bible teaches that we live in a world that is characterized by sinful values and attitudes. This satanic world system surrounds us, and Satan has designed it to appeal to our fallen sinful natures. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2:16 indicates that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are areas where we who have a sinful nature are vulnerable to attack. The body is especially vulnerable to the lust or strong desire of the flesh. The soul is especially vulnerable to the strong desires of the eyes or gain. And the spirit is especially vulnerable to the pride of life or vanity. Satan thought that he could get Christ to sin in one of these areas. The temptation to make the stones into bread and not depend on the Father to meet his needs according to the Word of God was an appeal to sin in the area of the flesh. The temptation to submit to Satan's authority and timing to receive the kingdoms of this world was an appeal to sin in the area of the soul, which is vulnerable to the glories and pleasures and riches of this world. And the temptation to jump off the high pinnacle of the temple down to the pavement or Kidron Valley below and not be killed was an appeal to sin in the area of the spirit, which is vulnerable to pride and vanity. Our Lord resisted and refuted Satan with the use of Scripture, which is the sword of the Spirit. It is written, it is written, it is written. What a lesson for us. The Lord quoted 3 times from the book of Deuteronomy. Could we? This should be an incentive to memorize Scripture. The Lord did not sin in any of these areas, but we have sinned in all 3 of these areas. Sins of the body, sins of the soul, and sins of the spirit. Ever since the Garden of Eden, where our first parents sinned in all 3 of these areas, every single person of the human race, except our Lord, has been tempted and has yielded in all 3 of these areas. Remember what we read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that is the lust of the flesh, and it was pleasant to the eyes, that is the lust of the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, that is the pride of life or vanity, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. The temptations of Christ are proof that only Jesus did not sin. Now, what about practical application from this first portion of Luke chapter 4? Expect Satan to use Scripture, but out of context. Expect Satan to use Scripture, but out of context. In verses 10 and 11, Satan quoted Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan was using this promise of God's protection to try and get the Lord to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, hoping that he would kill himself, or at least sin in the area of pride. But the Lord answered with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which says, you shall not tempt or test the Lord your God. In other words, you don't test the Lord's promise to protect you by jumping off high buildings or walking across interstates blindfolded. Satan pulled Scripture out of context then, and he will today. Be on guard. You know, I know of a teenage girl who got an abortion on the basis of Matthew chapter 24, verse 19. Which says, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Someone told her that we were now in the last days and it was okay to get an abortion based on this verse. How tragic. This verse in context has nothing to do with getting an abortion, regardless of whether we are in the last days now or not. This bad interpretation was satanic. Expect Satan to use Scripture, but out of context.